Okay, today's daf is Erev in daf Pei Gimel. We left off in daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. We are at the two dots in daf Pei Beis Amud Beis. There is a lot of math in today's daf, a lot of figuring out shiurim in today's daf. We're going to first discuss the exact amount of food necessary for a variety of different halachos, measuring the time a person has to spend in a bayis hamenuga before his clothes become tameh, how much tameh food a person has to eat in order to become tameh, what amount of food can be mitameh, other things. The bayis is going to trace the three-stage historical development of the measurement of a sa'a. If shiurim were not confusing enough, they changed the numbers in the middle twice. They changed the definition of the term sa'a twice in history, so we have to cheshbin that into the equation as well. And then the Gemara is going to try to figure out how large a dough is chayiv and chalin. It's going to derive from that the shear of how much a person should eat in a single day. That's going to be at the very top of Amud Beis. And then in the Mishnah of Amud Beis, we're going to discuss, we're going to go back to Erevin, and we're going to discuss how who gets to use areas that are shared by people who live in the chatzar and people who live above the chatzar. So people who live in the chatzar share certain areas. People who live above the chatzar, who has the hishtamshus of those areas and therefore is able to use it, included in their own eruv, if they were not ma'ariv with the people with the other group of people, either above them or below them. So just to get into understand the Gemara that we're about to do, we have to remind ourselves of the Mishnah yesterday. The Mishnah yesterday discussed what is a mazon shtei su'udos. We know that that's the shear for an eruv. You need to leave out two meals worth of food. But how much is two meals worth of food? So one machlokas, which was pretty simple to understand, was machlokas from Rabbi Yehuda. How do we define meals? Do we define it based on Shabbos meals or based on weekday meals? And we said the truth is both of them were trying to be mekel. They just argued about when a person eats more. Does a person eat more on Shabbos because there's always room for jello, because when something is very tasty and sweet, you always want to have more of it? Or does a person eat more on a weekday because the Shabbos meals you have to have three of, but weekday meals you only have two meals a day, and therefore a person would eat more on a weekday? So that's a machlokas and metzius in terms of what the normal thing is for a person to do, to eat more on a Shabbos, more on a weekday. But then we had a more confusing machlokas. Then we had another machlokas in the Mishnah, which also about the shear of shtei su'udos, where the Mishnah quotes the sheet of Rabbi Yochum and Broka and Rabbi Shimon, who apparently disagree on Rameh Rabbi Yehuda, and they don't say it's just based on what you mean. Rameh Rabbi Yehuda both assume it's based on what you eat, what a normal person eats. But they didn't give exact numbers. Rabbi Yochum and Broka and Rabbi Shimon give exact numbers for defining the shear su'udos. Rabbi Yochum and Broka had said that it's the mazon shtei sudos is the shear of a kikar, of a loaf of bread that's sold for a coin called a pundion, when the market conditions are such that four se'in can be bought with a sella. When four se'in of chitim can be sold for one sella, one coin called a sella, which is a kikar of a chatzi kav. So how do I know it's a kikar of a chatzi kav? Because there are four se'im. In four se'im there are 24 kavim. In four se'im there are 24 kavim because one sa'a is six kav. So in a sela there's 48 pundyonim. So it turns out that there are 24 kavim that are sold for 48 pundyonim. So one pundyon can buy a chatzi kav. So a kikar bepundyon, the kikar that you could buy for a pundyon, when four se'in is sold for a sela, is a kikar of a chatzi kav. So that is the shita of Rabbi Yochum and Broka, that it's a kikar of a chatzi kav. Rabbi Shimon says the shir shtei su'udos is shtei yados lekikar mishalosh lekav, which means 2/3 of a loaf of bread, when the size of that loaf of bread is such that three of those loaves would equal a kav. Meaning, 2/3 of a loaf of bread, when three loaves of bread would equal one kav. So it turns out a shir su'uda achas is 1/9 of a kav. So that's that would be the measurement. Meaning, if shtei su'udos is 2/9 of a kav, because that's what he said, three loaves, 2/3 of a loaf, when three loaves equals a kav, so that means two su'udos so 2/9 of a kav, which would mean one suda, would be 1/9 of a kav. That is the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Broka and Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara now at the two dots, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer, about 5 lines from the bottom, Tana ukrovim devrayan lios shavin. That we have a brisa that says that they're pretty much the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan Broka and Rabbi Shimon pretty much say the same thing. There's a very minor difference between the two shiurim. So says the Gemara, what are you talking about? There's a very minor difference. Mi dami, how can you compare the two? According to Rabbi Yochanan, arba suudos lekava. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there are 4 suudos in a kav, and Rabbi Shimon, teisha suudos lekava. And according to Rabbi Shimon, there are 9 suudos in a kav. That's a huge difference, whether there are 4 suudos in a kav or there are 9 suudos in a kav. So the Gemara says, Amar of Chista, that the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yochanan Broka did not say the shir of a kikar that has 2 sudos is a chatzi kav. He says that that's the kikar that you could buy from a chenveni with a pundion when 4 se'in of chitim is sold for a sella. But what you have to take into account is seman shlish lechenveni. You have to take from that chatzi kav of chitim that the chenveni bought for a pundion 1/3 of it for his own profit. So it turns out that for a pundion he bought a kikar that is mishnei shlishi chatzi kav, which is a shlish kav, meaning it would turn out that he has to take an extra shlish, and therefore the numbers come out a little closer. Says the Gemara, a little closer, but not exactly the same. Vakati, still Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yochanan Broka are not so close, because Lamar, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's Tisha, it's 9 sudos for a kav. Ulamar Shis, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's 6 sudos the kav, it's 6 sudos for each kav. So says Gemara, Ella, the Gemara says, Ella ki idach to Rav Chista, you have to say like the different member that Rav Chista said, da amri mehen mechtsa lechenveni, that you take out a half of a kav chitin that the chenveni buys with a pundion, half of that is for his own schar, half of it is for his own markup. So it turns out that a kikar that's of a rova kav chitim is sold for a pundion. So the Gemara says, okay, we're getting a little closer, but vakati, it's still not exactly the same. There's still a difference between the shiurim, because lamar, according to Rabbi Shimon, is teisha. That hasn't changed. Rabbi Shimon is always 9. It's 9 suudos for a kav. Well, lamar tamni, and according to Rabbi Yochanan Broka, there's 8 suudos for a kav. So 9 and 8 is not the same. So says the Gemara, yeah, we never said it's the same. Hainu dekamar krovim devreim leo shavin. That's why we didn't say that they are exactly shavin. We said krovim devreim leo shavin, that they're close to the same. So 8 suudos, 9 suudos, that's very, very close to the same. Now, in the context of trying to figure out this brisa of what it means that their shiurim are very close to each other, we quoted Rav Chista twice. The problem is, the two times we quoted Rav Chista, he said things that were different from each other, that contradicted each other. One place we quoted Rav Chista was Rav Chista said, "Seman shlish lechenveni, take 1/3 for the chenveni. The chenveni has a 1/3 markup." But then we also said, "Seman mechsa lechenveni." That Rav Chista said that the chenveni has a 1/2 markup. So frek the Gemara, kasha Rav Chista. The two members of Rav Chista that we just quoted contradict each other, because first he said Semen Shlush Lechenveni, then he said Semen Mechza Lechenveni. So Gemara says, lo kasha, that's not really such a kasha. Hadaka Yav Balabais Tzivi. In the first member of Rav Chista, we're talking about where the Balabais gives the Chenveni the wood that he's going to use to fire up the oven, to fuel the oven, to bake the bread. So then the Chenveni only can charge a markup of 1/3. But Hadaloya of Balabais Tzivi, the second Memra, whereas when the Balabais does not give the wood, so the Chenveni is using his own wood, and therefore he can charge a markup of a Mechza. Then he can charge a little bit more. The Rabbeinu Gershom and the Meiri say that wait a second, isn't it usur for him to be mistaker Yosem Mishlus more than 1/6, just like we have a din of Elna'a that you're not allowed to overcharge for an item by 1/6. Also, there's a limit to the markup a person can have in a store. You can't just mark things up as much as you want. So the Gemara in Bab Basra, Daf Tzadi, says that it's also to be mistaker Yosef Mishlus. So how can the Chenveni be mistaker Shlish and Kolshkein? If you say that he's mistaker Mechza, how could that be that he's allowed to charge so much. So the Rabbeinu Gershom says that we're talking about the Chenveni didn't pay the mocher of the chitim. Rather, he took the chitim al menas that he's going to give half of his schar, meaning he didn't pay up front. A lot of times, if you have a big store, they don't have to pay up front for the merchandise. They'll take in the merchandise. I remember when my chaverim were running the YU Sfarim sale, I think that was their deal, that they didn't have to pay up front for all the Sfarim that they got. They would take in the merchandise, and then they would give a percentage of the profits to the supplier who would give them the merchandise. So when the Chenveni would take the grain, he wouldn't pay for it up front. He would take it and he would say that I'm going to give half of my schar to you, half of whatever I make from it, he's going to give as his payment. So since that was the deal, the balachitim was mistaker 1/6, and the chenveni was mistaker 1/6. So it turns out that he was really only mistaker 1/6. The Tosfos Rid just asked him that. No, but sof the chenveni is mistaker shlish, and the cham ma'asid it, meaning it's still he was mistaker 2/6. It's just that he gave one of it away to his supplier, but still it's still considered to be a markup of 1/3. So Tosfos Rid says that we're talking about that the chenveni doesn't buy the wheat. His schar is on his tircha. That the chum don't ask him. Meaning, if you're buying something, if your entire business is you buy the item and then you turn around and you sell it, yeah, then you're not allowed to mark it up more than 1/6. But if you buy a raw product and then you do something to work with it and to make it different and to improve it, and then you sell not just the product, not just the raw ingredients, but you're selling your work also, you're selling the value of your work, then you're allowed to mark something up more than 1/6. That's permissible. There's no issue at that point in marking it up more than 1/6 because you're marking, you're charging for your services as well, not just for the product itself. Then the Mishnah went on to say, "Chetzia lebeis ha-menuga v'chatzi chetzia lifsolus ha-gviya." That half of that shear is the amount that we use for a beis ha-menuga, the amount that if a person walks into a house that has a saras, how long does he have to wait in that house until his clothing becomes tameh? He becomes tameh right away, but his clothing only becomes tameh if you wait a certain amount of time. The amount of time that it takes to eat, half of that shear, and half of that shear, a quarter of that shear, is the amount that amount of tameh food that a person has to eat in order for himself to become tameh midrabanan. Midaraisa, he would never become tameh, but midrabanan, in order the rabbanan where goes there, a tumah on a person who eats tameh food, but only in the amount of one quarter of that shear. So is there any other shear that the Mishnah doesn't mention? So says the Braisa, Tana, v'chatzi chatzi chetzia l'tameh tumas ochlin. That the Braisa says that 1/8 of the kikar that the Tanaim use for the definition of the Eruv, whichever Tana you want to hold like, everyone with their own Shita, is Latame to Masochlin. So it turns out, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, the shear is Shloshes Rive Beitza, and according to Rabbi Shimon, the shear would be a Beitza in terms of being Latame to Masochlin, because the Gemara had said that according to Rabbi Yochanan and Broka, the shear of a kikar is a Rovakav, which is, let's do the math, a Rovakav, which is 6 beitzim, because a kav is 24 beitzim, so 1/4 of a kav is 6 beitzim, so a chatzi kikar, which is the shear for the bayis hamenuga, is half of 6 beitzim, which is 3 beitzim, and chatzi chetzia, the shear lifsal sagvia, is a beitz of a chetzi, it's an egg and a half. So chatzi chatzi chetzia, the shear of tumas ochlin that we're trying to identify now, is half of an egg and a half, which is 3/4 of a beitza. And according to Rabbi Shimon, who said in the Mishnah that a kikar is a shlish hakav, so if again, if a kav is 24 beitzim, a shlish of a kav is 8 beitzim, chatzi kikar is 4 beitzim, and a chatzi chatzi is 2 beitzim, chatzi chatzi chetzia is 1 beitza. So the shear for Tumas Ochlin is 1 beitza. That's the machlokas, whether it's 1 beitza or it is 3/4 of a beitza. But that's the other measure that could have been mentioned in our Mishnah, but for whatever reason was not mentioned in our Mishnah. What do we mean when we say letame tumas ochlin? That it could be metame tumas ochlin. So there's a machlok rishonim. The shear that you need for tumas ochlin, is that only in order to enable food to be metame other things with Tumas Ochlin? Or does that mean that even for food to become Tame, it needs to have a Shir Kebetza, or three quarters of a Betza, Lamar Kedisle? Is this a Shir in being able to be Mitame other things? Or is it even a Shir in being able to become Tame? So this is a Machlokas Rishonim. Rashi in the Sechas Pesachim, Daflam and Gimel and Beis, and many other places in Shas, and the Rambam in the fourth parak of Hilchas Tumas Ochlin, Halacha Aleph, says that even a kol shu'a food can be mekabel tuma. Has a medrash in Parsha Shmini that even a kol shu'a food can be mekabel tuma. When we talk about a shir of a meichel for Tumas Ochlin, it means to have the ability to transmit tuma to something else. However, Tosos Masech Shabbos of Sadi Alpha Med Aleph, Dibur Maskel E, says that midar reisa, it's not mekabel tuma, food is not mekabel tuma, unless it has a shir kebetza. We have Gemaras that seem to imply that even less than a shir kebetza can be mekabel tuma. He says that's midrabanan. Midrabanan, there it goes there, that it could be mekabel tuma bekolshu. The Torah's Kranim, the Medrash in Parsha Shmini, seems to assume that it seems to make a drasha that a kolshu could be mekabel tuma. So yeah, it's an asmachta. It's not a real drasha gemura, it's just an asmachta. And Tosos even claims that Rashi was chozer by that. Rashi in Chulin Daf Pei Beis was chozer in what he wrote from Pesachim Daf Lamed Gimel. He was chozer in what he originally wrote, and Rashi ultimately agrees to Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam just raises the question. The Brisa in Arasugya says Latame sounds like Latame Acherim, to be Matame other things you need a Shir Kebetza. If it were true that you needed a Shir Kebetza for the food to become Tame, why did it say Latame? It should have said to become Tame. So he says maybe it does say to become Tame. How do you know what the Nikud of the word Latame is? Maybe it's with a Chirik under the Lamed. It's Litame, which would mean to become Tame. How do you know it means Li with a Sheval, Litame, to be Matame other things? Maybe the Shir Kebetza is for itself to become Tame, or says Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, maybe the Braisa is only speaking in the din of Tumah d'Oraisa, but midrabanan ein chinami. You don't need this shear of a kebetza or gimel rive betza in order for something to become Tame, Tumas Ochlin midrabanan. Maybe the whole thing is only speaking on a d'Oraisa level. Okay, so says the Gemara, now that we know that there is this other shear that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, there is this shear of chatzi chetzia in regards to Tumas Ochlin, so the Tana didan, my time, a little Tani, Tumas Ochlin. How come our Mishnah didn't say that? Why didn't our Tana mention that shear? If the Tana starts mentioning other, now it didn't have to mention any other shearim, but once it starts mentioning any shear that's a fraction of the shear of an Erev, so mention the shear of Tumas Ochlin, which is also a fraction of the shear of an Erev. So it says Mar Mishum Delo Shavishu Rayu La Dadi, because it's not exactly right. The shear of Tumas Ochlin is not exactly bidiyuk the chatzi shear of the psul gavia, and it's not bidiyuk a quarter of the shear of the bayis hamenuga. It's a little bit off. Why is it a little bit off? The Tanya, because we have a brisa that tells us as follows: kama shear chatzi pras. How much is the shear of a chatzi pras that pasels a gavia from truma when you eat meaning this is the second to last shear. What's the shear of the chatzi pras that we say that when a person eats this amount of tamei food, he's not going to be allowed to eat truma? Beis beitzim chaser kima divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's two eggs minus a little bit. Rabbi Yossi Omer beis beitzim sochakos. It's two expanded eggs. That every egg is each egg is measured with a little bit of extra. The beitzim that they use bisman Moshe were a little bit larger than the beitzim beinonis of the days of the Tanaim. So when we talk about when the Tana says to use beis beitzim, means beis beitzim plus a little bit. And Shir Rebbe beis beitzim va'od. This is a critical line. Rebbe, when he would use his measuring utensils to measure Shir Sa'a that was brought to him, he would use utensils that with a va'od. He would always add in a little bit extra to make it a little bit more. So kama va'od, how much is a va'od? Echad me esrim bebeitza, 1/20th of a beitza. That's the va'od that he would do. V'ilu gabi tumas ochlin tanya, Rabbi Nasan, Rabbi Dosa amru, kebeitza shamru kamao kuklipasa, v'cham amru kamao below klipasa. But when it comes to the shear of a kebeitza for tumas ochlin, so the arguments are so precise. Is it an egg with the shell, an egg without the shell? Whichever it is, though, you see from the fact that they're arguing an egg with the shell, an egg without the shell, that the shear of tumas ochlin is not exactly the chatzi shear of
psul gviya, because according to Rabbi Nasan Rabbi Dosa, the shear of tumas ochlin is kibetza with the klipa bidiyuk, and that's not exactly the chatzi shear of psul gviya according to any of the shitos in the brayso we mentioned before. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, that we mentioned the chatzi shear of psul gviya is a beitza minus a little bit, which is a little bit less than a beitza im klipasa. So that doesn't line up because it's less than a beitza im klipasa. According to Rabbi Yossi, that it's a beitza sochakas with its klipa, meaning more than a shear of a beitza bil klipasa, also doesn't line up. And according to Rabbi, a beitza bil klipasa plus, so also it doesn't line up to be exactly half of that. So since it doesn't line up with any of the shittos in Tanayim, we don't want to mention it in the Mishnah because it's not a perfect equation. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda, Zudiv Rabbi Yudiv Rabbi Yossi, Avchamram kebeitzo mechza sochkos. So he says that the brisa that tells us the chatzi pras of shtei beitzim with a little bit of variation, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a little bit less, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, a little bit more with slight variations, that's divrei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi, that's their shita. But the chacham hold kebeitzo mechza sochkos. So says Gemara, uman chachamim, who are the chachamim? Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, who says in our Mishnah that a pras is 1/8 of a kav, which is sholosh beitzim. So and the chatzi pras is a beitza mechza. So according, so that lines up beautifully. That a chatzi pras is a beitza mechza. That it's 1.5 eggs. So says in our pshita, of course it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. What's the chiddush that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka? Says in our, no, there is a chiddush. We knew from the Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka holds a beitza v'chetzi. We did not know from the Mishnah that he holds that it's sochkos, that it's a liberal measure of a beitza mechza. So that the Braisa adds in, that the Chum who disagree, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, gives a liberal measure of a beitza mechza. Keep using the term beitza. There's the Mefarshim at the beginning of Mishnayis Maseches Beitza discuss whether you're supposed to say beitza or beya. They raise the possibility that maybe you should use the Aramaic term for it's just an Aramaic translation. Bay is the Aramaic translation of the word beitza, but they think it's maybe more of a lishon nakiyah. Whereas other Mefarshei Mishnayos say no. What do you mean more of a lishon nakiyah? It means the same thing in Aramaic as the word in Hebrew in terms of both of its definitions. So it's not more of a lishon nakiyah to say beya than it is beitza. So Rav Shecht always says beitza. Chayav adam lomar b'lashon rabba, so I always say beitza. Okay, so machlokas in the Mefarshim in the Mishnayos. Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar Shigur Bunyas L'Rebi. L'Rebbe Modiu Dukundis Temin Na'usa. So when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said that Bunyas, a man named Bunyas, sent Rebbe a Modiu Dukundis, a Sa'a that was called a Kundis from a place called Na'usa, and they had apparently very precise measurements, and that's why he sent him this measuring cleat. It's not a normal gift to give to somebody unless he's worried about measurements and he's interested in shiurim. V'shia Rebbe Ma'as and V'shev Esra Bayin. And Rebbe checked it out and he found out that it could hold 217 beitzim. That's the size of the sa'a, that it held 217 beitzim. So says Gemar, Hasa Dehecha. Wait a second. Historically, we had three different definitions of the term sa'a in Jewish history, and this doesn't 217 beitzim doesn't line up with any of them. The original sa'a that we had, Idu Midbaris, the Midbaris sa'a that we had was Kuf Mem Dalet Havia, was 144 beitzim, not even close to 217. Vidu Yerushalmis, when they added the sa'a Yerushalmis, they always added 1/5, so it was sa'a Midbaris plus 20%, so it's 144 plus 28.8 equals 172.8. So how much is that? Kufayin Gimel Havya. Round it off, it's 173 beitzim. But again, still not close to 217. Vidit Tziporis, and if they, when they change the saw measurement again by adding another fifth, so good, so how do you add another fifth? 173 is the number that we start out with, plus 1/5, which is 34.6. So how much do you end up with? So Reish Zayin Havya, you end up with 207.6, but we rounded to 207. So bottom line is, it's not 217. So where in the world did they get 217 beitzim equaling a sa'a? So it says more leon de tziporis. Really, we're talking about the tziporis, which was 207. I see chalsa shadi alayhu. We're talking about if you add the shear that you have to take off for challah from that as well, so then it will be 217, that the shir challah that you would have to take off to be left with the sa'ah would be, and plus the sa'ah itself, would be 217. So, chosa kameh wait a second, what's the shir challah? We know what the shir challah is. The shir challah is 1/24. So what's 1/24 of 207? It's 8.6. So timni, that's 8. The Gemara rounds off. Akati batzalei, it's still not 217, because 207 plus 8.6 is 215.6. So it's still not 217. So where in the world did you get 217 eggs? Ela aisi va'odos to Rebbe shadi alayu. No, we take the va'odos of Rebbe. Rashi has 2 days over here. Let's take the second day. We said the va'odos of Rebbe is 1/20. So take 1/20 of 207, meaning instead of looking at the shir challah, don't look at the shir challah. Take the 207 measurement, which is the shir tziporis of a sa'ah, add the va'odos of Rebbe, which is 1/20. Rebbe added a va'odi, added 1/20 to everything. 1/20 of 207 is 10.35. 207 plus 10.35 is 217.35. So that's very close. Ihachi avalei tve, but wait a second, then it should have been 217.35, not 217 exactly. So says Mark, kibin delavi kibetza, lo chashavlei. No, since it's not the difference between what he said and what it is less than a kibetza, so we feel like we could round it off, that we could just give the number 217, we don't have to be so precise. Tan Rabbanan, Sayy Rishalmas Yesu Almid Barish Sus. Now the Gemara goes, the Brisa goes through the historical development of the Sa'ah. The Sayy Rishalmas is 1/6 greater than the Midbarish. So why did I keep on saying 1/5? Every time I mentioned I said 1/5. Yeah, where I said 1/5, it's because the Chazal's fractions are different than the way we look at fractions. When they say 1/6, they look at 1/6 Milavar, which is what we would call 1/5, which is Milagav. We have this in a few places, that hider mitzvah ad shlish. We say, how much more the Gemara Baba Kama Daf Tes says, how much more do you have to spend for a mitzvah just to be able to get a hider mitzvah ad shlish, up until 1/3 of the mitzvah. So if you have a something that's that the ikur mitzvah itself costs $30, so how much do you have to spend more for hider mitzvah? So we would say 1/3. So what's 1/3 of 30 is 10, so another $10. But no, that's not what Chazal mean. They mean you have to spend another $15. Why another $15? Because if you add $15 to the $30, you will then have spent $45. So what you added is 1/3 of the total. So when they say 1/3, it really means 1/2. When they say 1/6, it really means 1/5. So it was added another fifth, another 20% of the midbaris. So if the midbaris was 144, so 20% of that is 28.8. So they end up with 172.8, which we round off to 173. Vishal tziporis yiseir al Yerushalmi. And then the tziporis measurement of a sa'ah added another 1/6 to the Yerushalmis. Nimtzei shel tziporis yiseir al midbaris shlish. So it turns out that the tziporis is 1/3 larger than the midbaris. Now the midbaris was 144. The tziporis was 207. The difference was 63. Right? The difference between 144 and 207. Higher mathematics. That's the easy math. Is 63. So says the Gemara. Wait a second. How's the difference 1/3? It's 1/3 of what? 1/3 of a midbaris would be 48. 1/3 of a Yerushalmis would be 57.6. 1/3 of a tziporis would be 69. None of them are 63. So where do we get that that the difference is 1/3? Shlish deman. The difference is 1/3 of what? Ilema shlish de midbaris. If you want to say it's a shlish of a midbaris is 144. How much is a shlish of a midbaris? Mifti shlish of midbaris kama avion arba nutmanya. That's 48. Vilu odfa shisa nutlas. But the difference we said was 63. So how can you say 63 equals 48? That's not true. Vela shlish de Yerushalmus. So you want to say no? The difference is one shlish of the Yerushalmus measurement of a sa'ah. No shlish de da kama havi. How much is one shlish of 173, which is your Shalmas measure, so that's Havi Chamshin V'Tamanya Nechitilsa. That's 57.6, 57 and 2/3. So V'ilu Udfa Shsin, but we said the difference is 63. So again, it doesn't line up. Vela de Tzipori. Oh, so you want to say it's one shlish of a Tzipori measure of a Sa. The Tzipori measure of a Sa is 207. What's 1/3 of 207? Is 69. It was really 207 and change. but then it's 69. So again, v'ilu odfas shisa nutlas. I'm sorry. V'elitzibur shlishti dakam avi shivin lechichada. It's 69. V'ilu odfas samach gimel. So it doesn't line up. 69 is not the same as 63. So what do we mean by it's a 1/3 difference? Ella Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, so rather Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Achkamer, Nimtze Sa Shal Tzipori, the Tzipori Sa, which is 207 Beitzim, Yisera Al Midbaris, the difference between that and the Midbaris Sa, which is 63, Karov L'Shlishala, is very close to 1/3 of it. U'Shlishala, Karov L'Mechza B'Dimidbaris, and 1/3 of it, 1/3 of the Tzipori, 1/3 of 207, which is 69, is close to 63. It's also close to half of the Midbaris. What's the Midbaris? 144. What's half of the Midbaris? 72. So 69 is very close to 72 also. So what's the Grais of Chiddush? The Bryce is teaching me that the number 69 is not that different from the number 63, nor is it that different than the number 72. That's it. That's the big Chiddush the Bryce is telling me. Masravina midi karov karov katani. Does it say it just happens to mention random numbers that happen to be close in amount to each other? What's it talking about? Elam Ravina hachikamar. No, this is what the Bryce is really saying. Nimte shlush shal tzipori biva'odio shal rebi yesera al mechza shal midbaris shlush beitza. It turns out the shlish of a tzipori, again, tzipori measure of a saw is 207. The shlish of a tzipori, 1/3 of 207 is 69. But then you do a shlish of tzipori plus the va'odios of Rebbe, you add the 10.35, the 1/20th for Rebbe, so then it would turn out to 69 plus 1/3 of 207 plus 10.35, 1/3 of 217 and a third is 72.3. So that's Yesera al Mechza Shal Midbaris Shlish Beitza. That's more than a half of a Sa'a Midbaris by 1/3. Why? Because the Sa'a Midbaris is 144. Half of a Midbaris, 72. So 1/3, so it's 1/3 greater than that. It's 72.3, which is greater than 72 by 1/3. That's what it really meant, and therefore it lines up pretty accurately. It's not just karov karov, things that are close in number to each other. Okay, that's the mathematics. Tan Rabban, Reishis Ariso Sechem. We're almost done here with the math. Kidei Ariso Sechem. So how much is do we give for Shir Challah? This is Daf Yomi coincidence, this week's Parsha, the mitzvah for Freshes Challah. So how much is Reishis Ariso Sechem? You're supposed to give Kidei Ariso Sechem, the amount that you that when you need a proper amount of dough. The Kami Iso Sechem, what is the amount of dough that people would normally need in the Midbar? Kidei Iso Samidbar, the dough of a Midbar. The Kami Iso Samidbar, how much is that? Omer Asirus Ha'efahu. The Omer was an Asirus Ha'efah. So it turns out that the shear that one is Chayiv and Challah is when they make an Asirus Ha'efah. So says the Gemara, Mikan Amru, from here we see Zayin Revaim, seven quarter calves, Kemach, a flour, Va'od, plus a little extra bit, Chayiv Espechala, is Chayiv and Challah. Shein Vav Shel Yerushalmis, Shein Hei Shel Tzipuri, which turns out to be six of the Yerushalmis measures and five of the Tzipori measures, because again the measures change over time. Mikan Amru, and therefore from here we say Ha'ochel Kamidazu Hareza Bari Mavarach. If a person eats that amount of food in a day, so that's a healthy amount of food to eat in a day, so he's going to be healthy and robust, it'll be wonderful. Yes, Ralkan, if a person eats more than that, Ra'avtan, then he's considered to be a gluttonous person. Pachos Mikan Makulkal Bameyav. To eat less than that, he's going to have stomach issues. The Gemara, again, always emphasizes health issues, and one very critical health issue is that a person is supposed to not overeat, and a person is also not supposed to undereat. The person has to eat a healthy amount of food. But that healthy amount of food we measure based on the sheer challah that we're told about over here. Now this plays a role, this Gemara plays a role in determining a different halacha. Not only the halacha of Hafrashas Challah that we read about in this week's Parsha, but the poskim discuss when it comes to Shir Kviya Suda. We know the halacha is if a person eats Pasah B'Kislin, B'Shir Kviya Suda, enough cake to be Kviya Suda on it, so then you have to wash, even for Pasah B'Kislin. That's one of the tainas on Mizonos spreads that you have a lot of times they serve on the airplanes, is that if if it is pas sabah b'kissin and it's not pas, and you treat it like pas, you eat it like you're eating a sandwich, so if you're treating it like pas and you're being kaveh asudah, so then you have to wash anyway. You have to wash for pas sabah b'kissin, and also if you have a shir kaveh asudah. How much is a shir kaveh asudah? So the Mishnah Berurah, Sim Kuf Samaches, Sivkan Chavdal, paskins that l'chadchila, we have to be choshesh, that a shir kaveh asudah is four eggs worth, and you shouldn't eat that amount of pas sabah b'kissin without netilas yadayim. Why? Where does he get that from? Because the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Samaches has machlokas Rashi and the Rambam what the shear of Muslim shtei sudos is for an eruv. The Rashi says it's 8 beitzim, the Rambam says it's 6 beitzim. So it turns out that according to Rashi, a suda achas is dalad beitzim. According to the Rambam, it's gimel beitzim. So if that's a suda achas, that must be the shear. Kviya su'uda. That's it emerges directly from our sugya. But there is another daya, the sheet of the agur, is that a su'uda kvua that the su'udos that we're talking about over here are su'udos arai. Kviya su'uda, to be chayiv in washing, would be a larger shear than that. These are just su'udos arai. These are more snack-like su'udos. These are not the significant su'udos that one would need to actually wash for. And then the third shita, again related to our sugya, Shulchan Aruch Rav says the Shir Kviya Suda is a Chatzi Omer, because the Shulchan Aruch says the Shir Suda that we say by an Erev is Gimel Beitzim is a Shir Suda Pchusa, that's for poor people to eat, but it has a Shem Suda, and therefore that's enough for an Erev, but that would not be considered a Suda of Rov Bnei Adam, of healthy people. What's a Suda of healthy people? So that's what we just saw in our Gemara. A Shir of Omer Lugulgolas for Bei Suudos, our Gemara says, is a very healthy amount to eat, so you have to have half of that would be a shear of suda achas to be koveya suda for a person to be chayiv to wash on for kviya suda. Okay, let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Anshei Chatzar v'Anshei Marpeset Shachu v'lo Irvu. Let's say you have people who live on the bottom floor and people who live on a marpeset, on an elevated part of the Chatzar, that forgot to make an Eruv with each other. Shachu v'lo Irvu. So some of the Rishonim say, what's the Lashon Shachu v'lo Irvu? Just say lo Irvu. They didn't make an Eruv. What's the Lashon Shachu? So Shachu implies that they were in the Parsha of Eruv, but they didn't finish it off. Meaning, they did make an Eruv. They made it. That Anshei Chatzar made an Erev amongst themselves, and Anshei Marpeset made an Erev amongst themselves. But then they were Shachach, they didn't go to the next step and actually make an Erev between each other. So, Kol Shegavah Yud Tfachim L'Marpeset. Anything that's 10 Tfachim high, that belongs to the B'nai Marpeset. That belongs to the people on the Marpeset. Pachos Mikain, anything less than 10 Tfachim high, L'Chatzar, belongs to the people in the Chatzar. Chulias Habar Vasala, Gavah Masara Tfachim L'Marpeset. We have the area surrounding a bar, the dirt piled around the pit that's 10 Tfachim high, and it's that will belong to the people of Marpesas. Pachas Mikan the Chatzar. If it's less than 10 Tfachim high, it belongs to the people of the Chatzar. I mean, they're allowed to use it. It's included in their rishos. Vamedvar Mamur b'smucha avu b'muflegas afilu gavoa yud Tfachim l'Chatzar. That's only if it's near the Marpesas. But if it's not near the Marpesas, then even if it's more than 10 Tfachim high, it would belong to the Bnei Chatzar. Vezui smucha. How do we define what's called near? Kol she'inu rechok arba Tfachim. As long as it's not 4 tfachim away. So says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to list 5 cases of areas that are accessible to 2 separate chatzeros who did not join in a single eruv, and the halacha is still going to be very clear who it belongs to. 5 cases where it's clear. Case number 1, Pshita, Lezeba Pesach, Lezeba Pesach, Hainu Chalon, Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. An area that each chatzer has a door that opens to it. It's just like a window between 2 chatzeros where carrying is asur from either side if the chatzeros did not join together in a single eruv. Lezeba Zrika, Lezeba Zrika, Hainu Kosel, Shebein Beis Chatzeros. If the area can only be reached by throwing upward from each chatzer, so then it's just like a wall between the chatzeros, and it's asur for both chatzeros to carry to it and from it, unless they made an eruv together. If both chatzeros can access the area by lowering things into it, not by throwing up, but by lowering things down into it, then we view it like a ditch between the chatzeros. That's also asur for both, unless they made an eruv between them. Hainu de Rabbi Barav Huna, Amar Rav Nachman. If one chatzar has a doorway and the other chatzar has to throw upward into the area, so the chatzar has the doorway, which is the easiest access to it, can carry to it. Lazeba Pesach, Lazeba Shilshul, Hainu de Rav Shizvi, Amar Rav Nachman. If one chatzar has a doorway, the other chatzar can access the area by lowering something into it. It also belongs to the one with the easy access, because again, when it's Tashmisha Benachas, we always go with the one that has easier access rather than the one that has more challenging access. So says Gemara, but what about the following? With a Pesach, that's easy access. Shilshul, lowering something down into it, and Zrika, throwing something up into it, that's difficult access. So what if both have somewhat difficult access? So Amrav, Shnei, and Asur. So Rav says, they're both going to be Asur, neither can carry to that area. Shmuel Amar, Nosnos, Lezesha, Beshilshul, Shalzet, Hashmisha, Benachas, Lezet, Hashmisha, Bekasha, the Kaldavisha, Tashmisha, Lezet, Benachas, Lezet, Bekasha, Nosnos, the chatzar can lower things to the area that can lower things to it can use it, since lowering is considered tashmisha benachas. It's considered relative to being zorek, an easier form of usage. And whenever you have one that has an easier form of usage than the other, it's always the rights always go to the one that has the easier form of usage. All right, Be'ez Hashem, we'll start with Tanan tomorrow, which is going to bring in an attempted raya that Shmuel is correct in this machlokas over here between Rav and Shmuel.